A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily, some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We had Ed Hawkins, the author, come in today, talk about some weird and wonderful things, the Jedi skills in the world of sport.
Very good it was. Yeah. And Angus Deaton and Philip Pope came in.
They did.
Radioactive.
They did, show. Yeah. And we talked a bit of football because we all support different clubs.
Yeah, good bit at the end there.
That is your discovery. So we'll have that. We'll also have some old nonsense from us. And here it all is. We hope you enjoy it.
Good afternoon, Paul. And first, before we get on to the football last night, let's congratulate Harry Maguire. He just announced his new baby yesterday, 9 months after our World Cup win over Colombia, which is great, isn't it? I hope they named the child after the icon of the tournament, Waistcoat Maguire. It's a good name, isn't it? I think that works for me.
Waistcoat
it's not really
Maguire.
A name, though, is it? Really?
It sounds like it's sort of a famous baseball player. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Somebody played with Babe Ruth for the Yankees. They called him Waistcoat Maguire because he was never seen without a waistcoat. It does sound like one of those, doesn't it?
That's what it is, yeah.
They've called the baby Saint, haven't they? I think they've gone with a name.
Lily Saint, yeah.
Oh, Lily Saint. Nice, okay, yeah. Fair enough.
Obviously, they weren't going to call it Waistcoat.
They weren't going to call it Waistcoat, you know. No, it wasn't even on the shortlist, I understand.
No, it wasn't really.
Well, congratulations. Well done to Gareth as well, getting his OBE today.
Can I just say that Brighton are going to lose to Manchester City on Saturday?
You've stuck your neck out there, haven't you? You seem very confident that Cardiff would lose to Manchester City last night, and you were proved absolutely correct.
Yeah,
I think we all were, really. Even Neil Warnock was.
It was a bit of a strange game.
Yeah, we're going to come on to Tottenham in a minute, and because we're joined by Martin Cloke from the Spurs Supporters Trust and what went in last night at the Lane. It was, I think, a night we'll remember for a long time, but not necessarily a game. But anyway, you watched Brighton, and Chris Hughton wasn't massively impressed with their performance.
No, I'm not surprised, really. Their best player was Bissouma. He had a good game, actually. He looks like he's got something about him. But they rested Glenn Murray, which is a big thing for them. And also, Knockhart didn't start. He came on because Solly March got injured. But, all in all, it was a good performance by Chelsea. But, you know, we saw the team. You see that you're sitting in the restaurant. The team comes up. You look at it on your phone. You think, oh, actually, I might go to the game. Yeah. It was actually a decent team he picked, a team that the fans wanted him to pick. You know, there's real apathy there, though. You know, people really have had enough of it. But last night, I think they were happy enough. And Loftus-Cheek, he should obviously start every game, in my view.
Took his goal well, didn't he?
Hudson-Odoi, not necessarily start every game, but he's really good. And he's got that thing that young players have, isn't it? No fear, and he just goes forward. His decision-making is really good. He knows when to cross, he knows when to pass. You know, and he could have had a goal. He had a couple of chances, but he said he had a good assist. And Giroud, Chelsea always look better when Giroud plays because he's a much better player than Higuain at the moment. He may not have been in their pasts, but at this current time, he's sort of five times better than Higuain. So why bother, really?
Yeah, in my view.
But there you go. But I watched the Spurs highlights on we'll talk about on the pitch. They started well. It was sort of relentless, wasn't it? And then as the goal didn't come, then Palace sort of dug in. But in the end, you know, I think deserved to win.
I think I can completely understand the Palace tactics. They just kind of had a free midfield player sitting in front of the back four and hope to hit us on the break. And they've got such a lot of pace around the team, we can understand why, but we just couldn't make the breakthrough. So it was a bit nervy at half time. You're starting to think, well, if it doesn't come, a point isn't good enough. They didn't really need to win last night. You do worry about the curse on the place, but they got the job done. A couple of very odd goals, quite forgettable goals. If one, of course, wasn't the first one in the stadium, it would be forgettable, but I think we'll probably see it forever more.
No, absolutely. Yeah. And Harry Kane was obviously keen to score. He would have been. And
he missed really a good chance, didn't he? He did it. Yeah. I mean, I think he did a bit of work on shooting practice with Moussa Sissoko yesterday. Leant back and opened up his body in the who was man of the match, actually, Moussa Sissoko. He was great last night.
He's had a great season.
And he was really playing out of position, as was Dele Alli, which
it's
didn't
funny
help,
though, isn't it? Another round of fixtures go by, and now it's Manchester United who look like they're going to miss out. It's really going to go all the way, isn't it?
Yeah, but there's no rhyme or reason. You've won again, and you keep saying you're not in it, but that's nonsense.
Well, no. I mean, obviously we are in it because we're one point behind.
Well,
but
exactly.
You know, we've won two games in 3 days.
Yeah. So of course.
But then you've got West Ham. You always make it difficult for Chelsea, no matter how badly they're playing. And they are playing badly at the moment. For some reason, they decide that when they play Chelsea, it's worth playing. They do that against Spurs too, and you've got them as well. So
we have still got a bit at our place. Yeah. We've still
so
got,
it'll be interesting anyway. We'll see what happens. But Jimmy who sits behind me, he did have a lot. He was basically thought it was still April Fool's. He kept going 1-0 Spurs.
1-0 Palace, you said.
1-0 Palace, sorry. Yeah, 1-0 Palace. Sorry, yeah. 1-0 Palace. Yeah, Batshuayi scored.
And everybody's going, "Ray!" Yeah. And cheering, really.
He goes, no.
How many times did he keep that going for?
He did about 3 or 4 times.
The boy who cried wolf.
Yeah, exactly. In the end, I didn't react. I did react the first time, but not as I reacted to the April Fool's. It's not been a great week for me on that level.
Yeah, you've not had a good, really. I mean, every April Fool going, Andy has bought hook, line and sinker. He's been coming in suggesting guests. And we're saying, you do realise it's April the 1st, don't you?
Alison Rudd was at the ground last night.
Yeah.
As were many, many people. I mean, everybody I know, practically, even if they're not a Spurs fan, seem to be there last night.
How did they get a ticket?
Goodness knows. My Instagram is just plagued with pictures of Spurs' new wonderful stadium, which it is. It's wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. But you get the idea. A lot of envy
there last night amongst the Chelsea fans. But Alison Rudd caused jaws to drop at the new stadium by ordering a bean and beetroot burger.
Oh, yeah, we saw that.
That is not football food, I'm afraid.
No, we did see the bean and beetroot. I think there were quite a lot left. Yeah.
And they were bean.
Yeah. There did seem to be a surfeit of those, really. So if you wanted one of those. But I went for the chicken. I went for the chicken and chips option.
Was it good?
It was all right. Yeah, it was good.
Was it fried chicken?
It was a southern fried chicken.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, not a whole one.
How many different herbs and spices would you say?
Well, I did. One less than the colonel, because otherwise... imagine that. Tottenham sued by the colonel. Imagine that. Daniel Levy on one side of the court. Bloke in a white suit with a white beard in the other. And you used all of my... Was it 11 herbs and spices?
Like that, yeah.
If only you... Daniel Levy saying, only we... used 10 pots, and we could have afforded Lionel Messi if we just used the 10 spices. Yeah, what a thought.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Andy Jacobs here on Talk Sport. Now, you may remember a Mike Parry clip from many years ago, which somehow we've lost.
I know.
Not us personally, it's gone.
It's a pity, really, because it's a classic.
It's a classic. And Mike was talking.
I thought we could get him to re-record it.
Yeah, maybe we will. He won't have the same edge. But Mike did say once that we're not far off a time when a man will do. Run the 100 metres in 1 second.
Yes, seemed unlikely to me.
Which
but
maybe seems quite fitting in what we're just about to discuss. The Men on Magic Carpet, searching for the superhuman sports star, the author Ed Hawkins is with us. Ed, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
That does seem quite unlikely, though, doesn't it? 100 metres in 1 second.
It seems to be a bit of a push, but there are people who were around in the 60s with the help of a few substances who reckoned such bonkers things would have been possible.
Don't think that applies to Mr. Parry.
No, probably not. He just does it. Just naturally him. So, the book, it's an interesting... I mean, if people had read the Men Who Stare at Goats or seen the film, they'll kind of have a feel for the kind of things you're talking about. But this is... So many of those sort of people... moved into sport, you found, haven't you? Had a kind of involvement.
You ought to explain to people who don't know what the menu
is. Oh, yeah. Well, maybe, Ed, you should kind of go back and sort of tell us the whole premise, really.
Yeah, so during the Cold War period, the American military believed that it was possible that they could create a super soldier who would be able to walk through walls, control the minds of others, slow down time, and any other sort of comic hero superpower you can think of. And that was basically because the Russians believed the same thing. And these, during the Cold War, they were kind of egging themselves, each other on, because they were totally paranoid that each side had this capability. But those beliefs all came from sport, because there was a guy called Mike Murphy who set up the Esalen Institute, which was perhaps in popular culture is best known for the guy, I think it's Dick Draper from Mad Men, going to this far-out hippie retreat.
Oh, yes, yes.
To sort himself out. And in the 60s, Esalen was basically the teaching ground for these superpowers. And they were trying to get people to do it in sport.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, and the American military borrowed those ideas from them, and that's how it all came about. The Men Who Stare at Goats was that story. And one of the people who was in the Goats film was called Peter Brusso. Now, George Clooney played him. And I went to see him in a in the desert not far from the Mexican border. And he's this huge 300-pound guy. He's got 64 knives or axes on the wall.
Is he?
You know, a huge sign saying, kill them all and let God sort them out.
I mean, I saw that on a T-shirt once in America. It's quite a troubling message,
he's,
isn't it, really?
He's quite out there. And he was a goat guy, and he was taught these superpowers. And once the Cold War was over, he had nothing to do.
Does it work?
Obviously, he went to go and work in golf, teach golfers how to do all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, and was very successful with it, wasn't he?
He taught Tom Watson.
Yeah.
Now, Tom Watson was a decent player back in the day. Now, they reckon he thought he was going to take on Nicholas for major wins, and he tailed off. But he was teaching Tom Watson to believe he was Darth Vader walking around the course.
Really?
If you put on this cape, this imaginary cape, before you go out to play, pretend you're Darth Vader, do the voice, do the breathing.
Do the voice.
You're going to play better than everybody else.
How did you discover this link then with this into sport?
Well, because I'm interested, probably like most sports fans, why teams win, why teams lose. You know, and we know in this era with financial doping, if you want to call it that, teams will spend huge amounts of money on finding those percentage gains. But I thought, had anyone ever tried anything really weird, really out there? And then I started Googling.
Yeah.
And I came across this guy called Mike Murphy, who in the 60s was basically collating all these extraordinary examples of athletes doing superhero things, and how he tried to teach people how to do it.
And you found they were, Murphy obviously was, but do you find generally people were willing to talk? Because they can be a bit secretive about this kind of thing.
Yeah, they can be. The passage of time certainly helps, you know, because this was in the 60s. So it's this bonkers sort of historical tale about how these guys had huge influence on the military, and then what happened after that, because they just went back to working in sport, and who they ended up influencing. And that's probably one of the most interesting aspects of the book, who was a protege of that era and where he went with those ideas. I don't want to give the game away with the book, but it goes right to the top of American football.
One of the chapters is called The Doc That Won the Super Bowl, and this was a chap you went to visit.
Yeah, so this is a guy who believes in something called power tapping.
Yeah, that's a Paul McKenna thing too. I've done that. It's quite a clever technique, actually.
Yeah, you might see some athletes doing it. You might see gymnasts doing it. I remember seeing a gymnast doing it in the Olympics, and it's just like tapping pressure points on your wrists or on your face. So
on your face, your chest,
we do it now on your nose, on your head.
And you've done a bit of this. What did you do tapping for?
I can't even remember now.
Were you trying to stop something?
Improve my memory.
It may have been, yeah.
I think just general improve. You know, I'm always striving to improve myself.
Really? Based on what exactly? Yeah. It's odd, isn't it? It's kind of at odds with, you know, the American military would buy into something when so much of what some of these guys were saying, and in sport as well, was kind of related to the amount of acid they were taking at the time.
Yeah. It's basically about mind control. And this might be easier for people to digest, is calming people down.
Yeah.
They call it quietening the mind. That's what's happening. It's giving somebody an excuse to think that there's nothing stopping them to perform at their best. So like the power tapping. and they're just tapping their wrists out. They're just taking their minds off their worries and their anxiety.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
there's huge amounts of pressure which these guys are under.
Top level sport is in the mind, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Even low level sport, you know, whatever level you're playing sport at, the mental state you're in affects the way you perform. What has Halifax Town FC got to do with
this? It's a nice little story, this, yeah.
Yeah, so in the famous Halifax Town FC upset when they beat Manchester City, they employed a guy called Romark to hypnotise the Halifax Town players
really?
That they were going to beat Manchester City. And he hypnotised John Smith, who set up the winning goal,
wow,
to think they were all going to beat Man City. And it, you know,
can he get down to Brighton before Saturday?
Well, unfortunately, he's no longer around. His next trick after that was to try drive blindfolded through the streets of Essex. And as soon as he put the foot down, he drove into the back of a police car.
Sorry.
His name is Nomark. Oh, Romark.
Romark. And, and he said, well, logic meant that the car was parked in a place that it shouldn't have been.
Oh.
But what he didn't see coming was the tax man, because he got done for embezzlement. So
right.
He kind of been that hot.
Do you see coaches and sort of people in sport sort of reading this book and maybe sort of picking up a few tips?
Well, if they pick up on the aspect of quietening the mind, look, it's happening in a lot of sports. It's basically Murphy, this 60s hippie, has informed sports psychology about how to quieten the mind and to teach people to chill out and try not to feel the pressure and breathe and meditate and visualise. And visualisation is a huge part of modern-day sport.
Oh, absolutely.
Athletes will be sitting down and they will be thinking about how the game is going to go, what they're going to do in that situation. And it's basically preparing the mind and the body for all eventualities.
I've tried visualising. I've tried visualising me and you accepting a radio award.
Why have you tried visualising?
Well, I thought it might happen.
You're just wasting your time.
I know. It's as if you visualise it, it's going to happen.
Do you trip up on the way up to the stage and land on your face? That would be very funny. I love some of the things, the little section you have at the back as well, Ed, where you looked at some of the things that people have bought into in sport, such as shape-shifting. You tell a story of a 49ers quarterback that said five or six times a running back got bigger once, then smaller. And other things that you wouldn't... Like levitation.
Weird.
Players not actually touching the ground when they run. They were getting people to buy into that, weren't they?
Yeah. The football coach, the San Francisco 49ers quarterback, John Brody, from the 70s, he thought he could move the ball with the power of his mind once it had left his hand.
Wow.
And he spoke about that. But he didn't speak on the record about that in the 70s because he was terrified of what would happen to him.
Yeah, people would think he was mad.
And he would lose his contracts and all that kind of thing.
We've not used the word Jedi, but I mean, it's kind of, it is, isn't it? I wonder if George Lucas was, I mean, do you think he bought into any of this and knew of this when he was putting the films together?
Well, this is the funny thing about it, is that it all inspired the Star Wars movie franchise. Mm. These people inspired Lucas. One of Murphy's right hand man was a guy called George Leonard, and his teachings were all about the Force and Jedi, people who could do all these extraordinary things. And Lucas has admitted that he was inspired by this guy, George Leonard. And one of his lines from his teaching is in the film with Obi-Wan Kenobi, almost line for line, repeating what George Leonard was saying.
Even in the wrong order.
You know who
the wrong order it was.
You know who the first Jedi Master footballer
was? Here we go.
Darth Crooks.
Oh, there we
are. Thank you very much.
There we are. The man who stare at Coates, of course, Ralph Coates. We're talking about the late, great Burnley and Spurs winger. It didn't happen. But the book's a lot of
very
fun.
Interesting.
It's very, very interesting.
Good.
And we do recommend
it. I think we're both going to take it home and give it a good read.
We are. We've skimmed. So we are going to get properly stuck into it. So The Men on Magic Carpet, Searching for the Superhuman Sports Star, published by Bloomsbury by Ed Hawkins, and is out now. Thanks for coming in.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact? You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here on Talk Sport. Radioactive celebrating its 40th anniversary, going on a national tour. Before we chat Philip Pope and Angus Dayton, part of the Radioactive team, let's hear a little bit of an old World Cup song they did on the show many years ago.
Next time we'll win. Next time we're really gonna win. Next time we're gonna win for sure. We'll beat the Italians.
It's
actually brilliant though, because we used to get sent World Cup songs by the dozen, you know, just before every World Cup, and they all had that same theme like that we, this time we're going to win.
Well, the next time is the most important.
And the same change of key in the middle.
Yeah. But it's changed now. It's changed, hasn't it? I mean, England are actually good, dare I say.
Careful, but yeah, we're certainly a lot better than we have been.
Yeah. So yeah, 40 years since you... Is this 40 years since you did the kind of first sketches, or 40 years since the sort of first series?
40 years since we were born, I think.
Yes, that's not quite a lie. It was the mid-80s. Mm. It was between 1980 and 1987 that we did the series on Radio 4, so however many years that is. Listeners can ring in and tell us. So quite a long time ago, but the two shows that we're featuring were both written in 1984.
Okay. Yeah.
But the anniversary is that we first did this show, the radio show, a sort of sketch show linked by radio, as it were, sort of sketches,
as a format.
A format 40 years ago. So that's what
it's
about.
What about radio and the way it's changed? I mean, has it changed fundamentally or not? I don't think it actually has. I was talking about this the other day. I still think probably quite a lot of the content you heard in the 80s is still out there now.
That's
what we're hoping.
Yeah. thank goodness that is actually the case. That if you listen to local radio, obviously that's what it's parodying, not national radio.
No, of course not.
Oh, no.
That would be absurd. if you listen to it nowadays, it's roughly as it was in the 1980s, 90s, noughties, etc. And in fact, a lot of the bands that are parodied by Philip, Kenny Rogers, Lionel Richie, the Bee Gees, all of whom crop up in the show, they've been on Glastonbury in the last 3 years or so.
Sure,
so they're still around.
I think it's interesting with radio because newspapers are kind of struggling and TV has become fragmented and streamed and all that. But radio's kind of endured. I think people still, if you look at the actual total number of people in Britain who are still listening to radio, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and also it's difficult, I guess, to embellish radio that much. It's basically the spoken voice, isn't it? Or music. Whereas TV, I guess, there's a lot more sort of technology that can... be advanced over the years.
It's just fundamentally people talking into a microphone, isn't it?
Is
it?
That
you can't change that. You exactly. can't really mess with that. You get no, too
it's
much.
True.
Yeah. I suppose somebody was like the podcast has kind of taken it on there. There's a school of thought that says the podcast will kill radio, but I don't quite see that.
But isn't the podcast basically radio?
Well, it is, but you know, also it's certainly if it's a sports podcast, which is great if you're just kind of having a general conversation, but you can be talking about someone who gets injured that night or the team that loses 4-0. You're tipping to win the league.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose, but it's also niche, isn't it? It's you know, and you can have swearing on it and that sort of thing. So, so I suppose it's
we love swearing.
Yeah, feel free. We'll use all the words.
I'd be quite happy with swearing.
That's what I assume. Yeah. Okay.
So, where are you touring? It's sort of across the country.
It's extensive, isn't it?
It's quite a long way. We don't go that far north. Well, we go beyond Watford, obviously.
Yeah,
but
throw out some names, Philip.
Radlett in Hertfordshire. Bloomsbury Theatre in London, Stables in Wavendon, near Milton Keynes, Warwick, Didcot, Letchworth, Bromsgrove, Monmouth, Bridgewater, Winchester, Wimborne. Shall I go through the whole lot?
Yes. Do you like a train to Paddington? You're doing it.
Yeah, it sounds like the Radio 3. Shipping forecast.
Yeah. Touring, is it fun? I mean, do you enjoy doing it? It's a bit like being in a band.
We get on very well.
We
have no arguments and we love each other, but you are talking to us before we've started the tour.
Yeah. Any arguments about who's got the biggest room or any of that sort of stuff going on?
None of those.
No, we generally decided to do a tour of local restaurants and thought we might as well do a show beforehand.
So where can they find all the dates? I suppose if they just put in Radio Active 40th Anniversary Tour into Google, they get all the dates.
Yeah, right? They go to So Comedy. The promoters look up So Comedy Radioactive. That'll do it.
It's just struck me that we are the four representatives of the teams chasing two places.
Oh, really?
Aren't we?
Well, we are.
Manchester United, and Arsenal, Tottenham, and Chelsea.
That's
true. Okay. Well, good start for Tottenham last night.
I'm sure you were delighted for us.
I was absolutely not rooting for Palace at all.
Please.
To spoil the party. But it looks an amazing stadium. Were you there?
Yes, it's about the third time I've been in there, actually, and it is very impressive.
Does it have USB ports in every seat?
It does, it's fantastic.
Oh, wow.
The Wi-Fi works, insane. Even though I thought it was six, they kept saying, it's perfect Wi-Fi and everything, but with, 62,000 people,
We've got Wi-Fi too
have
now.
Have you got one? We didn't used to, we had very patchy Wi-Fi.
It's actually not bad.
Talking of 62,000, I noticed that, of course, it has to be a greater capacity than the Emirates.
Just by a few. The chairman asked to squeeze a few extra seats in.
It's like those sort of multimillionaire super yachts, isn't it? If Roman Abramovich makes one that's so long, then the next one has to come on. It's 3 foot longer.
Who's feeling confident then of the four of us that we are going to be top four?
Well, this week it's United who aren't making it, and next week it'll be Chelsea. Then the week after it might be Tottenham if they lose to City. So
I'm going to put a shout for Arsenal. We've got 5 away games.
Yeah,
against Wolves, Watford, Leicester, Everton.
They're all difficult.
Games. But
I think Arsenal have the easier run in.
Do you?
Two nasty ones.
The thing is, when United play Chelsea, that will be good for the others because someone will gain ground and someone will lose ground.
It will be a 6-pointer.
Well, it will.
But we've got City as well, which is not great.
Yeah.
So we are going to have to effectively
It could be a last day special, which is exciting.
I know. Well, we're playing Arsenal. Arsenal are playing Burnley on the last day, of course.
Only Arsenal could play Arsenal. They've pulled off some dirty tricks.
Only Arsenal could play Burnley on the last day. They need to win.
Yeah.
Pasta ladies.
Pasta and Pizzagate. Yeah. Any food stuff we'd do on the last day. No, but Burnley will be fighting for their life, so you never know.
Well, I think they'll have a cigar on by then, you've got no trouble there. Yeah. Are you pro Ole then, Angus? Are you pleased he's got the job?
I'm delighted that it's all worked out so well. I mean, it's way better than any United fan could have ever imagined, I think, when he was initially appointed. I just hope that the bubble hasn't burst, that things continue to go in an upward trend.
Well, a bit like Spurs having to win last night because it might have cursed the ground. There was a bit of a feeling that it would have been good had he won his kind of first... Well, he did win his first permanent game in charge against Wolves, but it wasn't Watford. It wasn't a great performance, though, was it? And then you follow up with a defeat.
The Wolves match was a bad one to lose, to be honest. Even if we just got a draw, it would have set us up
Well, they could have been 3-0 up in the first half.
I think we have to win pretty much every game. And we now have to rely on other people losing.
Yeah.
And that's not a good situation.
Come on, let's do it then. The two, who are going to be the two from four who do it? Everybody's got to do it. Okay, I'll kick off then. I thought of this.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for, I think it's going to be Spurs and Arsenal.
I think it's going to be Spurs and Arsenal.
Really, Andy? You're not going to... Okay, what do you think, Angus?
I think it's going to be the nightmare scenario, in my view, because I'm a sort of closet Spurs fan. I think it'll be Arsenal and Chelsea.
Okay, and Phil, what do you think?
I think it's going to be Arsenal and Man U.
Oh, okay.
See, so we all think Arsenal.
We all think Arsenal are going to do it. Hopefully we've bopped them.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Our assistant producer, we were chatting earlier on, and he put the idea forward, is bingo a sport? And we immediately said no.
Yeah,
and so he came back with, he said, oh, World Championship of Bingo, Alaska 2019.
Yeah.
So he's just making that up. He said no. It's the World Championship Bingo Tournament and Gaming Cruise. It started in 1989, and you go out on a lovely cruise and you play a lot of bingo and you can win huge amounts of money. So it's competitive bingo, but you're not saying it's a sport.
No.
It's as sedentary as almost as the darts, isn't it?
No, darts, you've got to move your arm.
Oh, you've got to move your arm, your old dobber, haven't you? You've got to move your arm in the bingo.
Don't call me an old dobber.
You are an old dobber.
Yeah, I am.
So, was it a dabber? I'm not sure what it is. Maybe a dobber or something. I probably said something quite appalling.
That's Australian for sort of informing on something.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
you dobbed me in.
You dobbed me in. Yeah, look. So anyway, so there is an element of movement involved. It's a movement of the arm, much like bingo. I'm saying it's a sport.
They had to change all the calling.
Let's cross to Graham Courtney now. And, I mean, if we say to Graham, Graham, do you want to go on a cruise of Alaska to cover the World Championship bingo? I'd say yes, I really would. So maybe we'll see that. But officially TalkSport are saying, yes, it's a sport, bingo.
Okay, well, fine. I look forward to us covering it.
How can I talk officially for the station? Who am I?
Nobody.
Goodness sake. Suddenly they want to be in the Olympics and they say, well, you want to take out with TalkSport? They said we were a sport. Yeah.
Do you want some news? Some news about Diego Maradona.
Why doesn't Victoria do that? You're trying to put someone out of work. Go on then.
Diego Maradona might be banned by the Mexican FA.
Yeah.
For political comments.
Apparently
he had a go at Donald Trump. But you'd have thought anti-Trump stuff would go down well locally in Mexico. Because within their football, I don't know if you know that, if the opponents get a free kick, you're not allowed to put up a wall.
As well, nice.
Thank you very
much.
That's
a beautiful bit of satire. You can give that to Kevin Day for I Got News For You.
You project it.
See this thing about Kate Beckinsale today, the fine actress.
Sake. I mean, I do love a rider story.
You never know the strength of these kind of things, because there could be someone who's working on this TV show who doesn't like her and has just taken against her, and this stuff gets leaked. But they said she was a diva while she was making an ITV series. Mm. She insisted chefs chop meat into precise 1-centimetre cubes, which were cooked, then reformed into shape so she could track exactly how many
she
ate.
I don't even know how that works. Surely once you reform it into shape, it's a burger. I mean, that's it. You can't. It's going to stick together with these other cubes and become a burger.
Well, you can tell Kate this, because that's what she wants. She also has an assistant follow her around with a freezer box of ice chips, where she eats by the handful. Brain freeze!
But you know what this is, don't you? And then she's asked to be allowed to smoke anywhere. This is somebody who's obsessing about their weight, basically, is dieting. Because if you're worried about how many burgers you eat, if you eat ice chips, that's another thing, and smoking is another thing to stop you eating. This is what it sounds like to me, anyway.
Right.
But I might be wrong, of course.
Okay, well,
it may not even be true, which is another fact.
We passed this on, but we don't know really whether. What's that song, Andy? You say?
No, it's basically nothing, I'd say.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Although I did get excited on the Sun. I thought it was a football program. The Sun advertising their TV page today. Forces TV had an ad, and they're showing the Equalizer with Ed Woodward. Surely that's a football show, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, it isn't.
Yes, I think it is. Yeah, I'd love to watch that. And then, of course, The Winner by Wolves, which is the one he's not quite so keen on. Kaz James, 37.
Yeah.
She's from Salford. And we read today that this is what it says in The Sun. She licks pals to greet them and eats bonios out of a bowl because, he thinks he really is a dog. So I was thinking,
not right, really.
He should go and get some help. But the trouble is, he'll go and see a psychiatrist and he'll say, lay on the couch. You say, I'm not allowed on the couch. That's what he's going to say, isn't it?
Of course he is.
Here we are, back to, sorry, Tommy Cooper.
Yeah, it's very much circa Tommy 90, Cooper.
Was it way. Robin Asquith, the great, the fine old actor from the Confession films? He was, I think he said he's the grandson of the old comedian Rob Wilton. Don't tell Mimi. But anyway, apparently. But he said there's an old Tommy Cooper gag that he came across, which is brilliant. I mean, a comic could go on and do this now. And probably this is about 1960. Mm. So he walked on with this kind of, like a horn, the sort of horn you would drink out of in a sort of, in a one of these old movies, you know. Oh, yeah. So he goes on and he blows into the horn and it gets a kind of cheap laugh. And he says, you laugh now, he said, but within half an hour, this place will be full of Vikings. That works now, doesn't it?
Well, sort of, yeah.
Yeah, what do you mean, well, sort of? Everyone's a critic.
Vikings don't exist.
Vikings don't exist.
Well, not these days.
Let's not break this gag down, then. Let's not break this run down.
You do it to me all the time.
It would be... Well, Vikings don't exist.
No, they don't.
The literal heckle. Well, you did a joke there. That's quite absurd. It doesn't really stack up. Yeah.
And that's true. No point. I'm fascinated by the... Princess Anne. She does more meetings and more things than any other royal. This is quite well known.
Yeah.
But some of them are so obscure. So yesterday, Her Royal Highness, Guardian of the Chaffinch Trust, subsequently invented...
Never trust the chaffinch. that's what I say.
I suppose it must be for the preservation of the chaffinch. Didn't even know
they
were...
Do you preserve your chaffinch, Andy?
I'd like to.
Yeah.
I didn't know they were under threat, really. Yeah. And Mandy Dander, who wrote from Coventry, wrote to the Sun with this one. How wonderful that Grange Hill's Zamo Lee MacDonald is in making a return to primetime telly on EastEnders. It's nice to see some old faces return. Well, first of all, he's never been in EastEnders. And second of all, is it that wonderful? Would you ever feel that about reading that news, that it's actually wonderful?
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
It's got nothing to do with chaffinches. It does great work all around the world, supporting and encouraging people.
Oh, it's got nothing to do with chaffinches.
Working for people who live in disadvantaged areas on low incomes and lacking opportunity. There's no chaffinches involved apart from their logo.
I'm glad you cleared that up. Because that would have been, would have been a mistake.
Glad you cleared that up because it would have been a mistake. Well, it was a mistake. Well, we put it right.
It's the 20th birthday of Grand Designs. Happy birthday, 20th birthday to Grand Designs. 20 years of presenter Kevin MacLeod saying, I was worried that they'd taken on too much. Every programme, he's always worried they've taken on too much, and they never have.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. So now you know, we've nailed our colours to the mast. That's who's going to finish in those other two Champions League places. It was quite different opinions, wasn't it, really?
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Everybody thought Arsenal were going to make it.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah. Anyway, we'll see you tomorrow. We'll have clips of the week, more live racing, and we'll be joined by the frontman of the band Blink-182. Have a fine evening.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.